Hey, we're back. I was waiting for the theme song. I've never had a theme before. This is rather exciting.
Wow. What was the signal for "we're back"? I didn't get it.
That was the guys over there going.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we are back. We're live at the Welcome Center. Jeff Skiles is here, Young Eagles co-chairman, and all-around nice guy.
I'm working on it.
Like I said, the last segment we talked about some serious things, but you've had some fun things that have happened to you in the last year. I understand that you got to go flying with the Thunderbirds.
Well, that's true. I got to fly in the two-seat Thunderbird. Actually, it was a year ago. It was actually right before Oshkosh last year in Milwaukee, and that was pretty exciting. I don't have the strongest stomach in the world. They do give you two barf bags. I only used one. So I'm proud of that fact.
Well, you have to elaborate a little more on that story. I mean, I read the piece you wrote about that flight, and it's
oh, that's true.
It's quite entertaining.
I happened to write up a big thing with pictures, which I sent around, and Steve Booth saw it. And you know what you don't really realize is, you know, when you get all strapped up into this stuff, the helmet, the mask, and all that, you know, it's really claustrophobic, and you have to. I don't know how fighter pilots do it, because you actually have to breathe in to breathe. You know, you have to consciously breathe in, and it's very disorienting and very claustrophobic, and I didn't really like it much. But when we did get in the airplane, it was pretty exciting, because I was flying with this guy, Lieutenant Colonel Derek Rout. Taz is his name. And Taz, you know, cops up there, they get you in this F-16, and he's like strapping me in, and he says, okay, you're only connected to this thing in about 13 places. So if you have to get out on the ground, it's real easy. He says, you just, you know, disconnect this, you know, because you got your G suit, you got your oxygen mask, you got your, you know, you're strapped into it about five different places, you know, and he's going through explaining this all to me. He says, it's real easy. You think about it this way, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And while he's doing this, I'm just looking at him, because I'm thinking, I can't remember all this stuff. And I said, If we have to get out of this, I said, are you going to leave me in the plane? He says, no, I'll come back here and get you. And I said, good, because if you don't, I'm going to be going up in flames in this thing, because I'm never going to be able to get out myself. But it was real exciting. We took off. Thing was in the air in no time. He said it's a kind of a short runway in Milwaukee there, so we probably won't be able to get all the way up to 400 knots by the end of the runway. It'll probably just be about 380. And gets the thing in the air, sucks up the gear straight ahead, and by the end of the runway, he's pulled it into a 6G pull straight up in the air, and it seemed like we were through 10,000 feet in about 15 seconds. And he pulls it over on its back, and he says, look out the top of the canopy, and you could look down there and see the, you know, the cross runways right below you. It was a really neat experience. And of course, you know, it does make you kind of sick if you're not used to it, but I think I did pretty well. Got back, managed to stagger down the ladder off the airplane, and, you know, put together an acceptable speech, because when you get down, they got all the Thunderbird organization is all lined up there, you know, like a standing at attention, you know, when they'd rather be at the hotel at the bar. And, you know, you have to say a few words, and so I managed to put together something, always, you know, wondering if there was some dried vomit on my face while I was saying it, but but it worked out pretty well. It's one of those life experiences. I did it. Don't know that I'd do it again, but I did it.
Did you actually have any stick time while you were up?
The Air Force officially says you cannot fly the airplane.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So how was it? Oh, so you have the F-16 experience, but then you decide last year that you're going to go out and buy yourself a proper airplane, which you did. It's a beautiful red Waco. How did you stumble into that?
You know, that's not quite phrased properly.
How were you badgered into that?
I have this friend, Larry. And more accurately, Larry decided I was going to go out and buy this beautiful Waco. And after the EAA, you know, we knew we were going to be the Young Eagles co-chairman right here. But it wasn't announced officially for a couple months. So I thought, well, maybe I ought to get an airplane to go fly Young Eagles in. And, And I thought about getting a Bonanza, and I actually rode in a Bonanza, and I thought, well, that's a nice airplane, but more importantly, I mistakenly told my friend Larry I was looking at a Bonanza. And he owns a Waco cabin, which is over there in Antiques near mine. And he scoured the countryside to find somebody who was willing to sell their airplane to me, and he found one. So, and he found a really nice one, too. So I was able to buy a beautiful Waco cabin, which, you know, maybe in another couple years I'll actually feel confident to fly all the time. But still learning.
And the airplane, where did the airplane come from?
The airplane came from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I actually was a doctor. He was 86 years old and was kind of getting out of flying, so that's why he got rid of it. But it's just a gorgeous airplane.
Did he leave you detailed instructions on how to care for his airplane?
No. I've kind of had to learn that along the way. Although, you know, he wasn't the most famous owner of it. He owned it for about 25 years. But previous to that, somebody very well-known in the antique movement, a guy named R.J. Hardin, owned the airplane. And I like here at Oshkosh, four times a day, somebody comes up to me and says, I flew in that airplane with RJ. We did a barrel roll. Apparently, he did a barrel roll every time he went up in the airplane. Because that's all I hear about.
Better check your spars. But that is part of the charm of older aircraft is, no matter who the current owner is, it was always somebody else's airplane before that.
That's true. It's never really your airplane.
Yeah.
Until you're dead or you sold it. Then it becomes your airplane.
So you've had the Waco now since last fall.
Yes.
Yeah. And Larry finally, he got you checked out in it, finally let you fly it yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, my friend Larry, he's a U.S. air pilot, too. And his idea of soloing you, the problem is it only has brakes on the left side. And in a tail dragger airplane, that's important because once that tail, in this one, the fuselage completely blanks out the rudder when the tail's down. So it's all brake on the ground. So, of course, his idea of checking you out is you flying from the right seat, him flying from the left seat. And then when you finally say, look, God, how many hours? I'm doing okay. When are you going to let me go? He says, well, okay. And he lets you fly from the left seat while he's on the ground.
That's called confidence.
Yeah.
On both parts. You've flown some Young Eagles in the Waco. I lost count of how many. I think you're over 25 already, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm way over that. Maybe up around 40 or something like
right,
that. Just
good.
Flew a couple yesterday. Very
indeed.
Nice kids.
Indeed. You did your arrival on Saturday, and that was, like I said, I saw the landing, beautiful landing, crosswind conditions, out on 927 with no audience.
And he was here watching that, right here. So,
yeah. In no audience, but yesterday, you did the showcase. Of course, you had to take off and land in front of the entire air show crowd. So,
well, actually, I didn't quite.
Oh.
I took off right out here, that's true. And then I had to go out and orbit over the lake with the Young Eagles, and I was supposed to come back and make a symbolic landing. And meanwhile, Sean Elliott, who's the chief pilot for the EAA here, was coming back in from Chicago with a VIP in the TBM. And, you know, he was out there with me. We were circling around over the lake. I saw a very large white bird, by the way, when I was out there over the lake. For some reason, they had him come in on 3-6, even though it was a little downwind. And they offered me the choice. And I thought, okay, let's see. I could land into the wind right in front of the crowd, or I could take a little bit of a tailwind and land way down there where nobody could see me. I decided maybe a tailwind wasn't a bad thing.
You're a smart pilot. We also put Jeff through his paces a couple of weeks ago. He came up from the Madison area, and we wanted to get some photography with some Young Eagles, and we decided we would also do some air-to-air photography. So we put you through your paces. I think that was a rather unique experience for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a pretty cautious pilot. I don't like to fly formation at all. And, of course, the whole concept, you know, of getting this fancy photography you see in the magazine is they get the sun here, they get the photo plane here, and they get you here. So they keep saying, okay, move 10 feet closer, 10 feet to the right, 10 feet closer, 10 feet to the right. And just about the time you're in the perfect position for them, you completely lose the photo plane in the sun. So then you got to pull out. And, I mean, the whole thing was very stressful. So I get on the ground, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so glad that's over. I am never going to do that again. I mean, I don't like flying formation, losing the airplane in the sun. I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know. Thank God that's over. And they said, oh, that was just the photography. We still got to do the video next on the next flight.
I can say from personal experience, having been on a number of photo missions, you did a great job. You did.
You weren't there.
Not the second flight. I was smart enough to stay on the ground. Well, you're here at Oshkosh. You're here 2 years in a row. What do you think of the air show so far? What you've seen? Anything stand out in your mind in your travels throughout the grounds?
It's wet. Yeah, you know, it's nice that we are getting the airplanes in here. And frankly, you know, given the way the Rockies start here, I know it sure seems like down in the anti-classic area, it's full up. I mean, more so than even normal. They're getting a lot of aircraft in here, and they got all these beautiful DC-3s and that DC-2 right out there. A lot of exciting things. Tonight, from 9 to 10, I'm going to be doing a program at the Theater in the Woods where I'm going to be talking to and interviewing the DC-7 crew, the people that brought in that beautiful DC-7 out there. And so I'll put in a little plug for that right now if anybody might want to attend that. That came about because Steve's emailing me, and of course they got to fill time. So he says, we want you to do something at Theater in the Woods. I mean, what do you want me to do? And he says, well, I don't know. We really just got a time slot we got to fill, and we're hoping you'd do it for us. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He says, well, talk. I said, about what? He says, I don't know. I said, I got nothing to say. So then I thought about these DC-7 guys because I've been dealing with them. Because the president of our organization makes these nice models, and I was getting some models made for our accident investigation team. So I thought, how about if I interview them? So they're real excited about it, and so am I. And I hope you all come tonight at 9 to 10 o'clock at the Theater in the Woods down there. I think it'll be a good time.
I believe so. Of course, one of the things that we talked about previous to AirVenture was some of the things that Jeff wanted to make sure that he did while he was here. When, although we have his schedule pretty much full, we wanted to make sure he enjoyed the show. And one of your dreams has always been to drive the Airshow Clap-Lap car. And I understand that happened yesterday.
Actually, I didn't know it had a name. What did you call it?
The Clap-Lap.
Clap-Lap.
C-L-A-P hyphen L-A-P.
Really?
They drive down the runway and then they come back the other way.
Oh.
You didn't know that. There's an official
Airshow. I didn't know there was a name, but I did it. I just said, you know, can I go drive some of those air show performer guys? And so Steve arranged it for me yesterday. Dream of a lifetime. Got to be out there in a Ford Thunderbird, you know, had one of those aerobatic guys in the back. You know, he's up there waving, sitting on the back seat. And, you know, I'm just trying to drive and hunker down and pretend that, you know, I'm nobody while I'm doing it. But, you know, that's another one of those experiences that, you know, you could have in life. Don't know I'll do it again, but it was good to do once.
And just to be clear, Jeff was driving the convertible, not the Mustangs that were doing donuts on the taxiway, all right?
Yeah.
Someone asked about that earlier today. We're just about out of time for this segment at the Welcome Center, but Jeff, any last words of wisdom you'd like to leave the group with this morning?
I'd like to say that, you know, this is a fantastic organization, and of course it runs on volunteerism. All those people out there, you know, parking cars, you know, the crosswalk guards, you know, all the people around here. There's 4,400 volunteers that make this EAA AirVenture happen every year. And next time you see one of them, thank them for doing their job for me.
All right, that is a wrap.